Well, as we begin, I wonder if you might be willing to try to guess something with me. Anyone like to guess the price of the most expensive shoes in the world? Anyone like to try to guess? Go ahead, you can shout out some numbers at me. Go ahead. Anyone?
100,000.
100,000. Woo! That doesn't sound like Payless. 100,000. Anyone else? The most expensive shoes in the world. In the back row, yeah. $1 trillion. Whoo! That would be some shoes, wouldn't it? I don't think I'd want to walk outside in them, though. That's the only thing. Well, you're both close, quote unquote. The most expensive shoes in the world are made by a shoemaker named Harry Winston, and they were just made this past year, and they are ruby slippers, and their price tag is $3 million. They are an exact replica of the pair of red magic shoes that you know who Dorothy wore in The Wizard of Oz. Remember her red ruby shoes? Except that these ruby shoes are real. So they have 4,600 pieces of rubies on them and 50 carats of diamonds, 25 on the left and 25 on the right. So if you want the shoes, $3 million would be the price tag for you. So a little more than 100,000, not quite a trillion, but I'd say that's about as expensive as shoes probably should be. And I'll wait till they go on sale at Care and Share myself. You can get them for about $12.50, and if this the tag is red on Tuesday, you can get half off on them. So, well, these may be the most expensive shoes in the world, but according to the Apostle Paul, they are not the most valuable shoes. You know, the most expensive things in life aren't always the most valuable things in terms of actual good that they do us. Actually, the most valuable shoes in the world are those that are mentioned right here in Ephesians 6. The shoes of the gospel of peace that are enumerated and numbered in among the armor of God. That among the spiritual armor that God has given for us to wear, to put on every day, so that we might be able to stand against the attacks of the enemy, are a really good pair of shoes. The shoes of the gospel of peace. And these are the most valuable shoes in the world. You know, one of the things that the enemy tries to do to us is to subtly rob us every day of peace. Peace, true peace. Now, do you know, the Christian has been given two kinds of peace. The first kind of peace that we have been given is peace with God through Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That through the death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, that by faith, when we come to accept that good news, that Jesus died for sinners to make us right, the Apostle Paul says that what happens is we obtain or receive peace with God. Now, that's not often how we think of our relationship to God, because if we've been given peace with God in salvation, that means that we were not at peace with Him before salvation. And that's exactly right. Remember that the human soul is at enmity, that is, at war with God, until we are made right in His sight through Jesus Christ, declared right through His Son. So as Christians who have received the gift of salvation by faith, we have peace with God. He has forgiven us all of our sins. He has declared us right in His sight, given us the gift of righteousness. And that is one of the kinds of peace that we have. The other kind of peace that we have is the peace that Jesus gave to us before we left. And that is, it's not only a peace that is sort of metaphorical, the reuniting of man with God, but we have also been giving a real, living, daily peace that helps us to live our life with a sure and certain confidence in the reality and the sovereignty of God. Knowing God, knowing that we are right with Him, and having Him in our lives results in having a steady sense of peace. Peace in the good times, and peace even when we all go through trials and tribulations and even temptation, that we have the peace of Christ. It is a very important thing. Sometime, if you're ever reading the Gospels, notice how often Jesus comes into a room and says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." He says it many, many times. And before he left, he said to his disciples, "My peace I give to you." So the same sense of peace that Jesus had in his life, he gives to us. And so we are people of a double peace. Peace with God in heaven and peace with Christ here on earth. And one of the things that our enemy tries to do as he attacks us is to rob us, to steal from us that sense of peace. He tries to get us agitated, gets us worked up about little things. He gets us to worry about things that are often out of our control. He gets us to be afraid of every little thing that's hiding behind the corner, whether it's there or not. One of the key attacks of the enemy is to get us off of our peace and to get us living lives of anxiety and agitation and fear and worry. And that's dangerous, because when we feel that way, when we slip from peace to fear or worry, we become an open target for further attacks. Because when we are off of our center in Christ, our whole life becomes open to further attack in other ways. So here we have the Apostle Paul saying, you know, every day as you leave your home or wherever you are leaving, and you're getting dressed spiritually, remember that's what the armor is, things that we are to put on. He says, don't forget to put on, to make your feet ready with the gospel of peace. Don't forget to put on the shoes of peace, so that we are able to, even in the times, these times in which we live, where there's so much turbulence, that we can have in our lives a real sense of peace about us. I'd like to offer some practical ways that I think that each of us can live in God's peace every day. Because if you're at all like me, my guess is it's not real hard to challenge your peace. We live, just turn on your news. Turn on the news this week. I mean, you know, as soon as I heard the first news of another bombing, you know, I have to be honest. My mind thinks, oh, again, what's this world coming to? What's going to happen? How are we going to ever survive? How are we going to ever, you know, go forward as a world when this keeps happening? And what kind of a world are my kids growing up in? And, you know, it's easy for us to begin to think that way. We live in a world that challenges our peace. So we have to have some ways, things in our life in place to, when we feel robbed of that sense of peace, what can we do? Some practical things. And I'd like to offer about five of them today. First thing we can do is return to gratitude. Return to gratitude. When you feel unsettled, remember all of the other blessings in your life. Remember to give thanks for everything else. You know, the things that are robbing you of your peace today, there might be one or two things. But remember, there's probably 1,000 or more things in place in your life for which you can give thanks. And one of the ways to counter those feelings of being unsettled is to learn to give thanks. And I believe that the key to gratitude is learning to be thankful for little things. Little things. I wanted to share a book with you. I thought it's a pretty ingenious book. It's actually an amazing book. Here it is. It's little this way, but kind of thick this way. Here's the title, 10,000 Things to Praise God For. And it's just, you open the book, there's no chapters. It's just literally a list of 10,000 things that one author, and the author is Jan Dargitz, one person, a list of 10,000 things that she could think of to give thanks for. And I can tell you there's a lot of big things, but it's mostly a bunch of little things. And I thought I would share some things. So you think, how do I think there's nothing to be thankful for? Well, maybe you're overlooking a lot of little things. So here's some things that this author is thankful for, and maybe this will encourage you to be thinking of little things you're thankful for. Microwave ovens, orthopedic surgeons, foresight, bathrobes. Hey, I can relate. The ordering of a common life, not having to live by chance, linen napkins, teamwork, friendly banter, Hepplewhite wing chairs, enough time, bouquets of roses cut from the fresh garden, overstuffed sofas in sunrooms, a child's hug, ficus trees that survive the move, snow angels, shady country lanes, pumpkin farms in early October, sodas shared with two straws, tea parties with two-year-olds. And she goes on and on and on. 10,000 things that she thought to be thankful for. Now, you know, that's the right perspective. Because when we learn to begin to notice little things in life and give thanks for them, it's easier to be thankful for bigger things and not overlook them. So if you're feeling unsettled, return to gratitude. A second thing we can do is find some solitude. Find some solitude. You know, sometimes in life, the thing we need to do is just get away. Get away a little bit. Get alone to think and to pray and to reorient your feelings. Think about Jesus' life, if you would, for a moment. I don't know how much you know about Jesus or how much, you know, you've read about how he spent his time. But one thing that we know about him is he had two sides to his life. He had a very public side. That's the side that we often focus on in the church. The times when he would come out, he would teach, and he would travel, and he would heal, he would do miracles. He did things in a very public way. But another part of Jesus' life that we don't think about so much is the times where it says that Jesus would go away to pray. He would retreat from the crowds and go away by himself, sometimes for entire nights at a time or longer. Jesus had a very private side to his life. His life can be described as both solitude and public life. And you know, I think that when we spend too much time out, too much time caught up in all the activity of the world, that can take your peace away. We need to retreat at times, to recharge our batteries, to reorient, to pray, to listen for God's voice. And a lot of times that's what is needed for us to regain our peace. Too much crowd time will drain your energy, but there is a danger on the other side. Too much alone time will drain your usefulness. So we need both public and private time to live a life of true peace. Another thing we can do is adjust your attitude. That's the third thing, adjust your attitude. Make sure in this world in which we're living that you're thinking more about the right things than the wrong things. That you're thinking more about the positive than the negative. More about hope than you think about despair. More about faith than you think about doubt. And I believe that's something we have to make a conscious decision. We need an attitude check sometimes. Because we can get caught up in all the negativity and the bad news of the world. And we forget about the good things God is doing within his church and within the world. So maybe you need to adjust your attitude. Maybe you've gotten a little too caught up in the evening news. Too caught up in all of that. And you're forgetting about the victory and the goodness of God. That's something you can do to restore your peace. And a last thing that we can do is increase our fortitude. Increase our fortitude. There are some things in life that we just might need to get tough with. Things that are stealing our peace, we may just have to actually have the fortitude, the wherewithal, the toughness to confront some things in our life and deal with those things and put them to rest. If it's a person, maybe you've been dealing with a person who is stealing your peace, Maybe it's time you need to confront that person and stand up to them and say to that person, you know, we're not going to let this go on anymore. We're going to deal with this problem once and for all and deal with that issue if possible. If it's a situation or a circumstance that you're dealing with, maybe it's time to quit sitting around and waiting for something to happen. Do something about it. If it's keeping you up at night and robbing you of your peace, by all means, do something about it. Make the call. Write the letter. Pay the bill. Whatever it is that's the trouble is, do something about it. If it's something that you've been putting off, get it done once and for all. And once it's done and dealt with, you'll breathe easier. You'll feel lighter. You'll feel more joy. You'll feel more confidence in your life. Sometimes we just have to have the fortitude to stand up to the things that are robbing us of peace. The final thing to remember in all of this is to remember that Christ is our peace. Jesus is our peace. Make sure that you're not looking for peace in the things of this world. That's not where we find it. It's not there. It might be there for a little bit. It might be there for a short time. You buy a new car and you sit in that new car. You might think, oh, this feels good. This is what's been missing. But, you know, that fades. You buy a new house and it, you know, you just love it for the first year or 18 months and it's great. You know, but all of a sudden the luster fades and, you know, the paint starts to fade a little bit and you notice that carpenter cut something crooked and it kind of loses its joy and, you know, you got to look at something else. There, you get a new set of clothing. In the dressing room, they look so good. And you look in that three-way mirror and you think, wow, I look like 10 years younger. And then you get home and you notice that it really doesn't do that good of a job of hiding those 5 B's of growing old. You know what the 5 B's of growing old are, don't you? Bald, blind, bridge, bulge, and bunions. And you can dress the B's all you want and they're still going to be showing in the mirror, I guarantee it. And so you think, oh, the clothes aren't going to do it. Remember that our peace in this world, our peace in life is not in things, but it's a person. It's in Jesus. And so remember that as you seek to put on those shoes of the gospel of peace, that you seek to connect with Jesus, remember Him living for you, dying for you, walking with you, as we sang in the hymn, in the garden. And He will be there for you and with you to grant you that sense of serenity, that sense of confidence that you need. But like all the pieces of the armor, it's up to us to put on those shoes every day, like all the armor. God's not going to put them on for you. You have to, and I have to, put on shoes of peace so that we can walk through our days the way that God wants us to. And so, beloved, as we are seeking to be battle ready, let us today hear the words of the Apostle Paul that said, make sure that you are fitting your feet with the gospel, or the readiness of the gospel of peace, putting on the shoes of Christ's peace. God, help us by His grace to do these good things to His praise and to His glory. Amen.